Well, good morning. Do you all have your Bibles with you? Good. Never forget. Don't bring your Bible to church, or don't forget to bring your Bible to church. If you did, there's a Bible that you can borrow in front of you. And we're in Ephesians chapter 5. So let's turn there. Father, we thank you for tremendous time in your presence and worship, just to be with you. And I do pray for your Holy Spirit to be poured out upon your people. Lord, that the lives that we live day by day would be empowered by you, that we would walk in victory. That others would be attracted to you through our lives. Lord, bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a phrase in our text this morning that stood out to me all week as I was studying. And I think it's an important phrase for us all to understand as Christians. And in fact, I use that phrase as the title for our message, as is fitting. Let's read our text, and you'll see where it shows up. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Paul, speaking to Christians, remember, writes, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. So there it is at the end of verse 3. As is fitting. Fitting is a word that means suitable. Proper. That which is appropriate. Paul is saying here that the lifestyle of a person should match who they are. It should fit. A person's way of life, day by day, should fit who they are. Now, let's say that you saw a dentist with a mouth full of rotting, nasty teeth. Would that fit? Would you go to that dentist? Or a financial advisor who's going through bankruptcy for a third time, would you go to that person for advice? Or a marriage counselor who's had four divorces and is going through a fifth, would you go to them for marital advice and counsel? No, it doesn't fit who they are and the life they live doesn't match. If you are a born-again Christian, then the way that you live your life day by day should fit that. Amen? It says in verse 3, as is fitting for saints. Remember, saints is a word used in the New Testament to speak of every Christian. It doesn't speak of some special class of Christian. If you're a Christian, you are a saint, which means God has called you out of the world, set you apart from the world to be his own. You are his consecrated man or woman. And your life should fit that. Last time together in Ephesians, we've discovered how we are new people in Jesus Christ. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you become a new person. You're given a new heart, a new nature. You become a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. And my friend, my brother, my sister in Christ, the way you live day by day in thought, deed, action, interest, how you treat other people should reflect that. Your lifestyle should no longer be characterized with sinful thoughts, attitudes, actions, and words. As a Christian, that's not proper. It's not fitting. It's not right. That doesn't work. Paul even says here in verse 3 that there are sins, listen, that should not even be named among you. There are sins that should not even be a rumor in your life, not a hint, not a whisper. Because you're a Christian. You're a new person in Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice what is fitting for Christians, first of all, positive. Look at verse 1. It's a pretty intense verse. Therefore, be what? Imitators of God as dear children. Now, that is the fitting lifestyle of a Christian. As Christians, we should be imitating God day by day. The Greek word is mimetos. We get our English word mimic. As Christians, we should be mimicking God day by day. And the idea is, if you're a Christian, God has become your father. You have become one of his dearly beloved children. And like father, like son, you imitate him. Dads, do you remember when your kids were younger and how they used to mimic you? You remember you'd go, and they'd do the same thing? Or you'd do this, and they'd do the same thing? One of my favorite pictures is a picture that Kim took of me. I was on the phone, and I'm in an intense conversation with somebody. I don't even know who I'm talking to. And, you know, I talk with my hands. So I'm like this on the phone, and little Lindsay at 3 is on her toy phone. She's standing right next to me, and she's... Just how the kids, they mimic Dad. That's the idea here. Christian, God has become your father, and you imitate him. That's what's fitting. Now, there are certain limits to that. We can't imitate God's power, can we? God is omnipotent. We are so weak. We can't imitate God's wisdom. God is omniscient. He knows all things. Half the time, we don't know where we've placed our keys, right? The primary idea here is that as a Christian, you imitate God in morals. Our God is a holy God, and so as his children, we walk in holiness. Our God is a righteous God. So as his children, we walk a righteous lifestyle. Listen, our God is pure. So as Christians, we walk and we live life in purity. God never doesn't lie. God always tells the truth. You're his kid, so you tell the truth. God doesn't steal. You're his kid. So you don't steal. Now, do you understand? That's important. Christian, listen, that's a really important thing, to be obeying the Lord in your life. The walk of holiness, the walk of righteousness, the walk of purity. You know, I'm amazed at how a lot of Christians can just live their life not even giving a rip that they might be offending God. In some sin. We are to be imitators of God. That is what is fitting. Now, does that mean you're going to be perfect all the time? Absolutely not. But you should be trying. And you know, when you fail, and we all fail, it hurts. And you come back to your Father. And you repent and you confess and you ask for forgiveness. And Lord, let's start over. Notice what else is fitting for a Christian. Look at verse 2. Paul says, and walk in what? Love. As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. If there is one mark that should distinguish every true born-again Christian, if there's one distinguishing factor of every true born-again Christian, it would be love. You see that all over the New Testament. If you are a born-again Christian, then it is fitting to you for you to live a life that loves God and loves other people. God is by nature a God of love. If we have given our lives to God, if we have become children of God, then we should love. John says in 1 John chapter 4, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. My brother, my sister in Christ, the suitable, proper, appropriate way for you to be living your life as a born-again Christian is to love God and to love other people. And listen, our love is to be really, really special. It's supernatural. It says in our text that we're to love others as Christ loved us. How did Christ love us? Unconditionally, didn't he? And so you should be loving all the people in your life unconditionally. You know, it's been said that there are three kinds of love. There's the love that says, I love you if you'll do this for me. That's performance-based. Then there's a love that says, I love you because you're so funny. Because you're so good-looking. I love you because you're rich. And then there's the I love you, period. Love with no strings attached. No preconceived notions. Loving other people completely, unconditionally. That's how God loves us. Jesus loved us sacrificially, and so we should be loving people sacrificially. Our love as Christians is not to be passive and sentimental, where we just run around saying, I love you. It's acted out practically, day by day. John told us in 1 John chapter 3, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Christian, are you practically loving other people? And it's not just this one big event where you love someone. It's a daily choice to love. One Bible commentator says this: real love is willing to lay down my life and rights and conveniences and comforts and pleasures in 1,000 daily ways. That's love. Bible says as Christians, we're to consider others better than ourselves. That's supernatural love. You know, every time I read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it blows me away. I'm just going to read it to you, but what is said there is amazing. Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. If you speak in tongues, but have not love, profits nothing. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Do you understand that the love of God in you and through you is the motivating factor of your whole life? As a Christian, that's how it's supposed to be. That's what's fitting. My brother, my sister in Christ, I just ask you, look at your life right now today. Are you loving other people? In practical ways. You know, it could be that maybe even as Christians that we need to be reminded that that's the mission. The main goal of life as a Christian, the main factor in your life is I'm supposed to be loving people. My wife, my husband, my kids, my brothers and sisters at church, my neighbors, my coworkers. And I'm supposed to be doing that in a very tangible, practical way. That's proper. You know what the real test is? Loving the people who annoy you. Loving the people who offend you. Do you think you ever annoyed God at one point? And he loved you. There's an element of sacrifice that you see in verse 2. And that would be another fitting way for us to live our lives as Christians. It says, walk in love as Christ also has loved and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Now, Christ sacrificed himself for us so that we could be saved. And his sacrifice was a sweet-smelling aroma to the Father. Now, we're Christians. And it should be the same thing with us. Now that we're Christians, it is fitting that we offer our lives to God. To surrender our lives to him. To move to a place in your Christian walk where it's like you allow God to be first place and he's Lord and you no longer call the shots, he does. I think of what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or your fitting service. It's utterly reasonable for a Christian who has been saved by God to then turn and say, God, here's my life. Use me. Take my life. It's fitting. Have you taken that important step in your Christian walk yet? You know, it's that time of the year where people are beginning to graduate, and there's a lot of young young ones that are graduating from high school and now beginning to think about going into college, and people thinking about different careers. And my young brother and sister in Christ, if you're in that situation, there's going to be a lot of people who will tell you, you need to go to this college, you need to be a part of this career, you need to do this and that. Listen, if you're a Christian, please do this for me. Get alone with God. And you, ask God, what do you want me to do? Lord, what have you gifted me for? How do you want to use my life? That's what's fitting. There's another positive right there in verse 4, at the end of verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of what? The giving of thanks. That's how Christians should live, thankful. If you're a Christian, your whole life should be marked with thanksgiving. Because God has done great things in your life. And you are thankful to him for your salvation. And it's out of that thanksgiving that you willingly surrender your life and say, Lord, you've done so much for me. Here's my life. I love you. I thank you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to love other people like you've loved me. That's what's proper. That's what's fitting. You ever met the Christian who's a chronic complainer? Every time you see him, woe is me. I got a flat tire 2 months ago and I'm still reeling over it. You know, that type of pity party attitude. The chronic complainer has no place, really, in the body of Christ. We should be chronic praisers. Amen? Thankful. So now, look what Paul says. Here's what's fitting for the Christian. Imitating God day by day as his dear children, walking in love, surrendered. Lord, what do you want? Living a life of thanksgiving. That's the good life. Do you understand that that's the good life? If you want a blessed life, a fruitful life, a life that matters, a life that counts, a life with good relationships, follow God's path. Peace and joy come with the walk of holiness. Safety, health, power. Okay, what's not fitting? What is improper for a Christian? Well, before we read verse 3, let me just tell you that sexual immorality is completely unfitting for a Christian. It's completely improper. It's completely unsuitable. Verse 3 is one of the strongest passages in all of Scripture against sexual immorality. It says very clearly in verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Fornication is the Greek word porneia, where we get our English word pornography. It was a catch-all word in the first century for all illicit sexual activity. This is a word that refers to all sexual activity outside the context of a marriage between one man and a woman. Sex before marriage while living together is a sin. Adultery is a sin. The world calls it having an affair. An affair is a sin. A fling is a sin. A one-night stand is a sin. This is a word that speaks of every kind of sexual sin: premarital sex, adultery, homosexuality, spouse swapping, prostitution, incest, strip clubs, hookups, pornography, cyber sex, phone sex, sexting, friends with benefits, etc. Do you get the point? And the scripture says that that kind of activity shouldn't even be named. Not even a hint among Christians. The Bible is very, very clear. Sex is only sanctioned within the context of a man and woman who are married. All other sexual activity is sin. Now, I know that this world has, you know, sanctioned all kinds of sex. I mean, whatever you want to call it, it's a free-for-all. But listen, understand what the Bible says. Now, you might sit here and think, well, it's all outdated. No, this is what the Word of God says. Sex, by the way, is not a dirty word. Sex is not dirty. Sex is a gift. God invented it. It is something to be thoroughly enjoyed within the context of marriage. Sex outside of marriage brings destruction. Look at this other word here. But fornication and all, what? Uncleanness. This speaks of any substance that is dirty or filthy. Think of scum at the bottom of a garbage can. That's uncleanness. This is a word that was used to speak of what's going on in a fresh grave. Garbage. Uncleanness. Dirt. Of course, this would be speaking of any kind of unclean act. But the idea here is unclean thoughts. What's going on in your thought life? And so, my brother, my sister in Christ, what do you watch? What do you listen to? What do you read? Garbage. It's unfitting. It's not even proper. You have to be so careful. You say, Terry, well, look at what we see all the time. Hey, man, I'm with you. We live in a sexually obsessed world, don't we? We see seductive images everywhere. Billboards. All over the internet. Bumper stickers. Magazines all over the place. I mean, Carl Jr. sells hamburgers with sex. You say, well, how can I help it? Terry, how can I help it? I can't help the first look. And when there's that real pretty girl that comes by, how can I help it? I can't help the first look. We can't help the first look. We can help the double take. Can't we? The gawking. The catcalling. Look away. I love what one Bible scholar said. He said, you can't help a bird flying over your head. Can't help that, but you don't have to let a bird build a nest in your hair. That's what many people do. Shouldn't be named. It says in Verse 3, covetousness, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness. Now, covetousness can mean being greedy for just about anything, but in the context here, it's obviously speaking about greedy for sex. The desire to use someone else for your own sexual gratification. Coveting another person's body. You remember the 10th commandment in the Old Testament? Thou shalt not covet. Well, let me read for you exactly how it's put there. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Christian husband, you should not be coveting anybody else's wife. Christian wife, you should not be coveting anybody else's husband. You should not be playing those games. You should not be opening doors. You should not be flirting. These things are not proper. You know what all that is, what we just looked at? That's walking in lust. As Christians, we're supposed to walk in love. Loving people. Respecting people. Honoring your commitments. Being faithful. By the way, sex is not love. You know, a lot of people think sex is love. They even talk about it making love. Sex is not love. Two stray dogs in an alley like each other enough to have sex, that's not love. And just because you love a person doesn't mean you should have sex. Love respects and looks out for the other person's highest good. It never dishonors or dirties or defiles who it loves. It insists on God's best. Okay, this word covetousness can also mean greed for things, can it? To be very materialistic, to want somebody else's money, somebody else's life, somebody else's materialism. And oh my lands, are there a lot of people in this world that are living that rat race? They're living their whole life to get stuff. They covet what other people have. That's not fitting for a Christian to live life like that. I heard of a young businessman who flipped his sports car over the guardrail and went down a steep embankment, and some twisted metal severed off his arm. When the rescue units reached him, the guy just kept whining, "Oh, my Lamborghini. Oh, my Lamborghini." The paramedics were appalled that this man was so materialistic. All he could think about was his car. One of the EMTs told him, "Buddy, you've got more to worry about than a silly car. Your arm was chopped off." Then man suddenly gets this panic looked on his face, and he begins crying, "Oh, my Rolex. Oh, my Rolex." Here's a person whose wealth has become his God. And the way he lives his life fits that God. Years ago, there was a popular rap song with the lyrics, "Boys want sex and girls want money." And that's true for millions of people in our culture. Getting her to bed and getting us ahead is what life is about. Such a person is imitating their God, but he's not the Christian God. He's not the Christian God. You know, as a Christian, we should live our lives wanting to glorify God, wanting to serve him, wanting to send treasures ahead to heaven, working for the Lord. Using our money to bless other people. That's the right way. Filthy talk. Look at verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting. Filthiness is a word that speaks of indecency, obscenity, cursing, dirty jokes, all your filthy talk. foolish talking, interesting in the Greek, moralogios, literally moronic speaking. Moronic speaking. This would speak of words that are just silly and foolish, just playing around. There's never any kind of sense to it. Just a bunch of clowns kidding around all the time with nothing to say. The one who's just always looking for a laugh. Coarse jesting, it's an interesting phrase. In the Greek, it means the turning over of language. The idea is that you can take language that's neutral or that's good, but you can turn it into a pun or something that's bad. Like make something good, turn it into a sexual innuendo or a dirty joke. And oftentimes they're very clever. I think our sitcoms on TV are filled with that. It shouldn't be a part. Christian, that's not fitting for you to talk like that. Do you see that there's a big difference? As a Christian, God has this wonderful life for you. This life of holiness. Now, everyone in the world would say, oh, boring. Oh, I don't want to live by all these. These aren't strict, rigid guidelines meant to give you a bummer of a life. These are all meant to give you joy in life. Look at the very strong warning. One of the strongest in all of Scripture, verse 5. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. By the way, do you notice how idolatry is linked to those three things? The fornicator and the idolatry. The idea is idolatry is placing anything else in your life above the one true God. And so if sex is your God, that's how you live. If money's your God, that's how you live. Who you truly worship, that's the type of life that you will live. Fornicators. Idolaters, as it says there, have no inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ. These are sins that are judged. The wrath of God is upon those sins. And listen, don't be deceived by the person who says, don't worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. God just loves you, man. It's all cool. Do whatever you want, man. It says there, those are empty words that deceive a whole lot of people. God is holy. All sin will be judged. So if you're a Christian, don't be partakers of that. Live differently. Now, if you are here this morning and you call yourself a Christian, but you are a serial fornicator, a serial adulterer, and there is no remorse in your life, and that is the goal of your life, that's what you do, but you say you're a Christian, you better rethink your conversion based right here on this scripture. There is no way that a true born-again Christian can live a life like we've described here without feeling remorse, without turning. Now, I believe there's struggles for Christians that they have. You're not going to be perfect. But it should hurt when you fail. You should get a ping in your conscience. You should be, Lord, I'm coming back to you. I'm sorry. But if there's nothing, once Alexander the Great was reviewing his troops after a battle, and he came across a man who'd been disciplined for cowardice. He asked for this guy's name, and the soldier answered, "My name is Alexander." Alexander the Great replied, "What did you say?" The soldier said, "My name is Alexander, sir." The general went into a rage. He and a coward shared the same name. Alexander the general ordered, "Soldier, either change your ways or change your name. And if you are living in sexual sin while still calling yourself a Christian, I would issue the same challenge to you. Either change your ways or change your name." You know, there is this thing called holiness. There is this thing called obedience. And it matters. Let's follow Christ, amen? Stand out. People get saved through viewing lives that are changed. I have great news for you this morning. All of this garbage can be forgiven. Did you know that? All of this garbage can be forgiven. Many of us sit here and we have a past filled with all that garbage. But the Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away all sin. That's why God sent his son Jesus, to forgive us of all that garbage, to get clean, to be made brand new. And then to be given the Holy Spirit and a new nature and the help of the Lord to begin living a different life that's better. God takes these ugly lives, he saves them, and he transforms them and makes them into something beautiful. Not perfect this side of heaven, but beautiful. You may be here this morning and this describes your life right now. And you've wondered, can anything be done? Can I be forgiven? Yes, give your life to Jesus Christ. He'll wash away all your sins. He died for you. If you're a Christian here this morning and you've backslidden and you're going back into these types of lifestyle, come back. Do you still feel the ping, the pain of it all? Come back. Father, as we bow our heads now and we close our eyes, I pray that there would be some introspection done. Lord, help us. Lord, I trust in your Spirit, that your Spirit will deal with each heart right now, uniquely, individually. Could be that you are the backslidden Christian here this morning. Man, it's time to come home. Start imitating God. Be like your Father. You just see if he won't bless you. Maybe you're a Christian, you've been walking in your own ways, and you think, well, that'll help me get ahead. Well, how's that working for you? How's that going? You happy? Let God call the shots in your life. He knows you way better than you know yourself. Come back to him. You may be here this morning and you've never received Christ and there's a load of guilt. Man, That guilt can go away right now. Your life can be changed completely right now. If you've never received Christ, receive him right now. Let him save your life and change you. Just pray this. You pray this prayer with me. Lord, my life is a wreck. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, there's so much garbage. Lord, I need to be forgiven. Cry out to him. Thank you, Jesus, for your love and your grace and for dying on the cross for my sins. Come into my life. Give me a new heart, a new start. Change me forever by your Holy Spirit. Help me to walk in your ways. Let's all stand together. Father, as we all stand, I pray for your protection upon your people. Lord, I pray that as we live in a world that is so polluted and so corrupt on every level, God, I pray you protect your people. Lord, keep us as your beautiful bride, chaste, holy, pure. Father, I pray that as your people, we would take all the steps necessary to follow you and to remove temptation. And then, Lord, help us to shine for you. In Jesus' name, amen.